but it felt like someone was pouring lava into my veins and it would like transfer through my entire body. And I was like, ow, it's burning!
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome.
Oh. What? Oh, were you going to say that? I might sound a little different. There's a reason we missed last week's podcast, okay? Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast. So, we missed a week, but we uploaded a vlog.
Yeah, but the reason we missed a week is a little bit related to why my voice sounds like this now. Mm. But also, let's just say after the live show, when you meet a bunch of people, yeah, and you know, you're shaking hands, you know, you're talking to people in close proximity and all that stuff, mm-hmm, you're bound to get sick, okay?
So, like, very sick. Like.
I thought I did well. I was like, I lasted a good amount of that week afterwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine. And then I think, like, the day of that we normally record, I started feeling it.
Yeah. I was, like, going through
it. Yeah, you were already going through it. Yeah. But you were kind of already going through it before that. But, like, then it just escalated into something else afterwards.
And it hit me so quick. So, like, I was already, okay, it was really weird. Let's just talk about our medical history for a quick. But during the live show, I was experiencing like insane like lower back pain and like pain in my rib cage, and like it was already like a week or two at that point. And I knew that like I should probably get it checked out, but I didn't, in hopes of it not being anything serious. I'm like, I can't, like, I'm too worried about this live show that I'd rather just like thug it out and then go after. Mm-hmm. And after the live show, the next day, I didn't really even rest because it was my nephew's birthday. So I was at Sebri's house. You forgot, didn't you?
Let's continue.
So I was in so much pain the next day. And then the day after was Monday. So I went into work and I didn't, you know, okay, normally, you know, when you're getting sick because you feel your sore throat.
Yeah.
I didn't feel a sore throat all day. Mm-hmm. But what I did feel was like the chills. I was so.
And you still went into work?
No, I felt it at work.
You super spreader?
No, you're
a little super spreader, huh? Huh?
I was a super spreader.
It's like the people who, like, they'll go into an event back in that time. In the pandemic times. Like the people who would, like, go to an event knowing that they have whatever, and then they like just spread it into like 20 people. They'll be like touching everybody's hands, touching all the food, getting everybody sick.
I didn't know I was sick yet. I knew I had like the back pain, but when I got to the office, like normally it's a little bit cold.
Yeah.
But this was like, I was freezing. And so I'm like, something.
You have the weirdest symptoms. Cause like, when was the last time one of y'all got sick and one of your symptoms was back pain?
Yeah, that was weird, right? And then by the time I made it home Monday, that's when I felt the sore throat.
Yeah.
I woke up Tuesday and had like the worst disgusting cough ever. Mm-hmm. So I stayed home.
Yeah.
I actually ended up calling in sick, and that was New Year's Eve. So I spent New Year's Eve by myself.
All alone. You know,
this is the
chilling.
Fourth year in a row since COVID started. Every single year. I think there was 1 year that I didn't have COVID.
Yeah.
And I was here. With Amir and our friends and stuff, but every other year I've always had COVID, and so this year it was just like, or this like New Year's was very reminiscent of that, and I was so sad, like so sad,
playing sad songs as the new year comes in.
There was a moment.
Of course, it'd be some like, was it Jessica? What was her name again? That girl who sang that song.
This was Bad Day. By
Ashley
Daniel
Simpson. Oh no! What?
You know, you had a bad day.
Oh, shoot. I forgot. I'm really bad with white people.
Ashley
music.
Simpson?
I can't. I'm not good with those references.
Ashley Simpson was like teenage angst
type of music. I guess so. Yeah.
This was just like,
whatever happened to Ashley Simpson?
She got married to Diana Ross's son.
Oh, really?
Or is it Tracy Ellis's son?
She like married into money?
No, he's not Diana Ross. Evan Ross. Whose son is he? Tracy, you know Tracy Ellis Ross?
Maybe.
You know her. She's
they all kind of blend in together to me, honestly.
She's from, Girlfriends, maybe? Girlfriends.
And, yes.
She's the mom in that show with Yara.
Yeah, I know. She's a light-skinned mom. Yeah.
Her son.
Big eye. What?
You know her son?
Yeah. Big eye. I didn't say that.
Ashley Simpson's married to her son.
Okay.
I think Diana Ross is his grandma.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Anyways, but,
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Yeah, so then after New Year's, I knew not to go to the hospital because I've done it before and it's just like, just don't go.
Yeah.
Avoid the hospital on New Year's. So New Year's Day, I woke up and I'm like, I should probably go. So I went and...
And they told you you're sick?
The worst experience of my life.
Why? What happened?
Oh, I didn't tell you?
No.
I didn't tell you what happened to me? Remember all the needles?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This girl, like, she went through war. Oh, I forgot. I don't know why I just, like, completely blanked on that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You went through war.
Like, I didn't even have to wait that long in
the waiting room?
The waiting room, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty empty.
Yeah.
And then when I, so like, you know how they triage you, they put you through registration and then they take you to the next waiting room and then you wait to see someone and then they draw your blood and whatever. And then the doctor sees you. So I got there and I'm like, wow, it's like unusually hot in the hospital. Like I'm sweating. I'm really hot. So I'm in the second waiting room and I'm so like just so out of it that I was just sitting there, like did not even pay attention to whatever's going on around me. Mm-hmm. So they finally call me into the little like back room where they take your blood.
Yeah.
So they take my temperature, my blood pressure. And then when it came to the needles, the first nurse came to me and he tried to get my veins in this arm.
Yeah.
My right arm.
Your right arm. Yeah.
And first of all, it was the biggest needle I've ever seen. And I'm like, that's going to hurt. But it did hurt.
I feel like at your size, anything really...
No. But Amir, like, my arm to this day still hurts. No, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was like a tube-looking needle.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's going
to... Where you can see the inside of the actual needle.
Yes. So he tries to draw my blood. Mm-hmm. Nothing is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So he did what I hate that they do the most, is when they move the needle while it's inside of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah! Like, I didn't even hide my pain. So he's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me try this arm. So he takes out that needle,
tries
this arm, same thing. Like, I saw my blood. It just, like, was not coming out.
He's like, you're a vampire.
So he's like, and he's getting nervous because I'm in pain. I'm upset. And he's like, I don't want to poke you again, so I'm just going to get another nurse to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine, whatever. So he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now in another chair.
Mm-hmm.
And this other nurse is like, hey, yeah, I'm going to try. Like, where did he try? So I showed her and she looks and investigates and she's like, let's try again. I'm like, the same spot? Like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And so she's like tapping where he just poked and it really hurts, but she's still hitting it anyways. And I'm just like, ow, okay, whatever. Just poke if you need to. So she doesn't poke the exact spot, but like near it.
Mm-hmm.
No blood. Pokes here. No blood. Then she grabs my hand.
Has it ever happened to you?
Like, yes,
do they normally have issues finding your vein?
Yeah, my veins are really small, but they usually just use like a baby needle and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they refuse to do that this time.
Okay.
So you can actually see the incision point if you see that little bump.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
So she's like, oh, let me try here. Oh my God.
On your hand.
On the back of my hand. So she like basically starts like tapping it to try and wake up the the blood vessel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually she's like, oh, you know what? I see a vein here. I'm going to try. So she sticks this massive needle into the back of my hand and again moves the needle. And because the veins in the back of my hand are extra sensitive, the blood vessel like popped.
The vein
popped. And I didn't look down yet because I was sitting back and I genuinely like, I don't know if you've ever fainted before, but I could see like my vision was starting to go dark. So I'm like, I don't know. Can I just lean back for a second? That's what I said to her.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, okay. And then I don't remember what happened.
That's the one thing, because I've fainted once.
Mm.
I think we were like play fighting and like someone was choking me. It's whatever. But then, yeah. So because of that, like, I guess I like fainted because I was just like seeing like they're doing a chokehold and I just was not giving up.
I
did not remember like actually knocking out. I just remember like them all standing around me being like, the hell happened? Because we were standing up at the time.
Oh, so shoot.
I fell back onto the floor and they're like, yeah, you like fell back and hit your head. And I was like, what? I don't remember any of that. Yeah.
Go ahead. All I remember saying to her was like, can I just lean back for a second? And then next thing I know, I open my eyes and she's like, she looks at me and she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, sorry. I'm just feeling like really tired. Like I didn't realize that I even passed out at this point. So then I looked down and my hand was like this. Like there was a huge like
a bump on your arm?
A huge bump. So I'm like, I touch it. I'm like, what happened to my hand? So she's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, like the, mind you, she's still drawing the blood.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Wait, so there's a needle in that bump.
There's a needle. And because she was moving it, it popped my vein.
Yeah.
And I guess the blood just started like, I don't know why. I don't know what.
It was like probably building up inside of the
hand. I think so.
Yeah.
So then she finally finishes drawing the vial of blood.
Yeah.
I'm still weak. I'm awake now.
Yeah.
And then because she's, I guess, panicking that I just passed out, when she was trying to disconnect it, she dropped the vial of blood on the floor.
No way.
And she was like, oh, shit.
She broke it?
It spilled. What do you mean? And then she was freaking out because she thought she spilled it on me.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, I know she's going to make me draw more blood. I already know. I already know.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, damn it. So I'm looking down. I'm like, did she get any of the blood on me? Like, I'm like trying to look down. I'm freaking out over my hand. There's blood coming out of my hand. Yeah. I pass out again. I pass back out again.
Your brain was like, there's too much going on here. I'm going to shut you down.
Way too much. So then I open my eyes at this point and she's like, by the way, the floor is wet. I'm like, wet with what? Like, what happened? I looked
down. Wait, you forgot again?
And she's like, I wiped it because I spilled the blood. Yeah. And I was like, oh. And she's like, so I apologize. I'm going to have to draw more blood. But I think you should lie down.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So now she walks me over to like a bed. And then
why don't they do the thing where they normally do, where they give you something to grip onto and you squeeze your hand?
No, I was just doing a fist. But then here, she wanted me to relax so that she could get the vein.
Yeah, but normally for getting your arm.
I was. I was doing like this.
Yeah, they do that. And then they like to cut off the circulation, make you do that to like pop
she
up the veins.
She had two of those elastic thingies on my arm. Two.
You gotta like, is there any way to like grow your veins?
I don't know.
Is there something you can eat to grow your veins? Yeah.
I think it's hereditary because your mom,
you gotta start doing arm pumps before you go to the hospital.
Like they both have that. So then after a while, I'm lying down. After a while, two other nurses come in. They're like, okay, we're gonna, we actually have to draw more blood. But we're also gonna, at this point I saw the doctor now because I was lying down. He comes and he's like, are you okay, what happened? So I told him and he was like,
you got expedited service because of that.
I think so.
They probably felt so bad.
So the doctor comes in and he's like, are you aware that you have a really high fever? And I was like, no, I honestly just thought it was really hot in here.
Did you not feel like
I felt hot
effects
but I
of
thought,
a fever?
Well, that's probably why I felt super weak.
I guess so. Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I just thought it was hot in here. And he starts laughing. He's like, no, it's really high. So I'm telling him like what happened. And he's just like, okay, so that sounds like really, like my guess is you probably have like, he's like, I'm not going to call it COVID, but like a viral infection. And I was just like, it's fine. Even if I have COVID, it's just a cold. It's whatever. He's like, but yeah, but like the back pain and like that's kind of making you nervous. So like, let's just do like a CT scan and an x-ray. So I'm like, cool. I've never done a CT scan before. Sure.
Yeah.
Worst thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah. It was actually really like the scan itself isn't bad, but the, okay, I'll tell you what happens. So he leaves.
Yeah.
Two nurses come in. They're telling me we have to draw more blood.
And what? Then, again?
Yeah. Cause she spilled the one. The
oh,
one.
They didn't do it again. Okay. They didn't do it yet.
So two nurses come and then they poke me. I have two little holes in my hand. You can see because they poked me twice on this hand.
Yeah.
The first time they tried and the blood wasn't coming out. So then they tried my arm again. And I was like, you're not going to get anything. Like, I promise you're not going to get anything. Here. They're like, we're just going to try. Poked me again here. Poked me again here.
She's when she's saying here, she's pointing at both her left
arms,
and right arm.
My left and my arms where we already tried twice. Then they were going to get to this, and I said, no, 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 this hand is off limits because it's literally swollen.
Yeah.
Like, it was a balloon.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah, let's leave that hand. So they left my right hand alone, which is why they tried twice here.
At this point, it's like attempted murder. They've stabbed you so many times.
No, for real. So now I'm sitting down on the bed. I'm sitting upright.
Yeah.
And I have two nurses. And they're like, they're really trying to like look for
a vein.
More veins.
Yeah.
Two more nurses come in. So now I have four nurses. Two holding down this arm, two holding down this arm. So they both have needles ready to go. And I'm like, I swear to God, if both of you guys poke me at the same time, I will literally jump out of this bed. And they were like, no, we're not gonna poke you twice.
Yeah.
We're just trying to see which one is the best vein.
Yeah.
So
you're like the final level to them.
At this point. So I'm sitting there like this. Yeah. And they finally, again, bring a mm-hmm. big needle and put it in here. And the reason why they used a big needle again
yeah.
was because I was doing a CT scan. Apparently they deposit, and I was doing an IV mm-hmm. at the same time. You have to deposit the IV drip and whatever you, like, there's this, they called it contrast.
Yeah.
But essentially it's like a liquid that they have to put into your veins in mm-hmm. order to do the CT scan to see the insides properly. Yeah. So they were like, we need to give you a bigger needle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that stays in my hand.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. They poke me twice. They finally get one.
Yeah.
And because the blood is
in your hand,
the needle's in my hand.
Yeah.
They're trying to extract my blood, right? To fill up the vial again.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe what they did. Because the blood was coming out so slow, they took a syringe, connected it to the needle. And you know when you like do the like reverse suction?
Yeah.
They did that to try and like, I was like, like literally I wanted to die. It was so painful.
You could feel it?
Of course you can. Because they were trying to like extract
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's a massive needle.
Yeah.
So they finally fill up the stupid vial of blood. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so painful. So they tape everything down. And now they start giving me the IV drip. And they're like, while you sit and drink the IV or yeah. like have the IV,
yeah.
you have to drink two massive cups of like water that had this medicine in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, sure. I'm really thirsty. Anyways, I'm probably dehydrated at this point.
Yeah.
So I forcefully drank the first cup. And I'm not joking. I was about to throw up in my own mouth. So
was
I'm
it
like,
was it like a thick water situation? Or
it was
it?
Thick water, but there was no taste.
Ugh.
But it was just like, I'm already feeling sick. Yeah. The last thing I need is to drink water.
Yeah.
So I was able to get like the first cup down.
Mm-hmm.
And these cups are like, it wasn't 8 ounces. It was like maybe 12 or 16 ounces. Like it was
what?
A huge cup. Yeah.
And you have to drink two of them?
Yes. So I told them, I'm like, I can't drink the second cup.
Yeah.
So they're like, don't worry. We'll have it injected into your, like through the IV needle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh. All right,
you couldn't
cool.
do that the first time?
Yeah, right? So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Why?
So now,
mm-hmm.
now.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
I have the IV. It hasn't officially kicked in to like numb the pain because there were painkillers and it was like IV to help me just be like to get rid of the dehydration.
Yeah.
So they tell me, okay, well, we don't really trust that you could walk to go do your CT scan or your X-ray.
Like, you might have fainted twice on us.
Yeah. So they're like, we're gonna get you a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool. They're like, okay, just wait here. Someone's going to come get it.
Mm-hmm.
I pass out.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I pass out with the IV connected to me on the bed. So I pass out. I'm there for like maybe like another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then someone walks in. They're like, oh, sorry. And then I open my eyes and I'm just like, are you the nurse? She's like, no, they just told me like you needed a wheelchair. I was like, oh, right. So I'm like, can you call the nurse? I don't really know what's happening. So they call the nurse. The nurse yeah. is like, okay, you're going to get on the wheelchair. They're going to take you to do your
tests. Oh, so when you knocked out for the third time, like you forgot what was going on.
Yeah, because I'm like, like, did I already do the test and I forgot? Yeah. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
So I go and I do the CT scan.
Mm-hmm.
And before I actually lay down, do you know what a CT scan is? It's like the one where you go into that big machine.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's the big magnets.
So I didn't know when they told me, oh, don't worry, we'll just inject the contrast into your needle.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady that's operating the CT machine, she tells me, okay, so they let me know that you didn't finish the drink, so we're going to inject it. I was like, yeah, I know. And she's like, just a fair warning, like, it's probably going to burn and your whole body is going to feel like it's on fire, but like you'll be
wait,
fine.
What?
So I'm like, sorry?
They never told you this?
No. So I'm like, what do you mean it's going to feel like it's on fire? She's like, yeah. And then you might feel like you're urinating yourself because your body's so hot, but it's fine. You're not urinating yourself, so you're fine. Don't worry. So I'm like, Can I just get the cup? Like, I'd rather just drink it at this point. She's like, no, it's okay. Like, don't worry. It'll last maybe like 2 minutes max.
2 minutes is a long time when your body feels like it's on fire.
Right. So I'm like, okay. So I have to like lie down on this thing, this machine. And she's like, put your hands above your head because I'm still connected to the IV.
Yeah.
So I'm like this with the long tube connected to me. Mm-hmm. She unplugs that and then she plugs in this other thing to put the contrast in. So I'm like, this is fine. Like, it's not that bad. And she's like, okay, I'm going to put you in the machine and then you're going to hear my voice over the speaker. I'll let you know when I deposit the medicine or whatever, inject it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm literally in a vulnerable position with my hands above my head, lying down in this big machine.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, do I close my eyes? Do I keep my glasses on? Hello, lady. And then she's like, it's fine. Just close your eyes. Relax. And I'm like, okay. So I go like this. Mm-hmm. I'm not joking. At this point, I didn't even feel the needle anymore. But you could literally, like, it's such a weird sensation. Mm-hmm. But it felt like someone was pouring lava into my veins. And it would, like, transfer through my entire body. And I was like, ow, it's burning. And she was like, shh.
She was
she literally shushed me. She's like, shh, it's okay. Don't worry.
She knew what she was doing. She was downplaying it, but she knew that you would hate it.
And she also had like this like Russian accent kind of. Yeah. So I'm like, can you stop, please? It's really burning. She's like, shh, it's okay. Don't relax. Deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to get out of this hospital. What's happening to me? So this whole thing, the whole CT scan lasted about 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So she was right. The burning lasted like 2 minutes, mm-hmm. 2 of the 5. When I was finally done, I looked at her. I was like, wow, you really weren't lying. Like my hand, that really hurt. She's like, yeah, but you're okay, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, sure, put the IV back in, please.
So I would be like, we'll see what the court says about that.
So then I finally, I do my x-ray and then they wheel me back to the bed. And again, the nurse was like, just take a nap.
Were you by yourself this whole time too?
Yeah, by myself.
You probably thought you were just going to go in, get something quick.
I was like, just give me antibiotics, give me something. But no, I was there for like, I was there for like 6 or 7 hours. I got there at 10. Yeah. I didn't leave until almost 5 o'clock.
Damn.
Yeah. So then I'm like lying down on the bed. The IV drip is like really hitting now. So I feel like on top of the world. Yeah. No pain. I'm chilling.
Yeah.
And then the doctor comes back. He's like, hey, so like I looked at all your results. Everything's fine. You just have a viral infection that's causing muscle spasms. That's why your body hurts. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know it's weird. It's not really like normal. It's actually pretty rare. Yeah. But he's like, you'll be fine. Honestly, just like bed rest and stay away from people. I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. So he's like, that being said, I think you may benefit by staying connected to the IV. So just finish it and then you can go home.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. All right. Mm-hmm. So I was chilling. I chilled for the next 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, until the IV finished.
Yeah.
And then I called my dad. I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. And he's like, okay, I'll come get you. And then I went home and your mom was there.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I feel like the reason that you had like such inexperienced nurses is because it was the New Year's. And you know how they give like all the new nurses like the bad days or the days that they don't want to work? But the more seasoned ones want to work. So it's like you got literally all the newbies.
But you know, at the end, like I think because...
What?
Because I was feeling so great on the IV.
Yeah.
So the black nurse comes in. She's unhooking me and everything, mm-hmm. right? And so as she's taking the Band-Aid off at this point, I wasn't shy. Like, we became friends.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ow, you're really hurting me. She's like, I know. She's like, taking the Band-Aid, like, the tape off is the worst part. Yeah. Because she's, like, pulling the needle.
She should have asked you, you want it quick and fast or nice and slow?
She's going slow.
She should have done quick, man. No, never do it slow.
And the crazy thing is, like, mm-hmm. I feel like my arms are kind of hairy.
Yeah.
So it was clinging onto every single hair. I was like, ow, it's really hurt.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's been 2 weeks. My hands, mm-hmm. like where they injected the needles, still hurt. Even here, you can actually feel a little bit of like the liquid. If you feel like where it was.
I don't know if I would feel it. It feels normal to me.
If you feel this hand versus this one, you would feel like this is flat. Like completely.
Yeah.
Feel that it's flat.
Yeah.
Here, if you feel like right there. You can feel like...
Oh, yeah. It's like a...
It's like juicy.
Something there.
But as I was like getting discharged...
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was like, you know, I realize that you guys have really difficult...
Why? You're giving a goodbye speech?
So So much. I'm like, you know, you guys have really difficult jobs, and I'm sure you guys get yelled at often because the wait times like suck.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for being difficult and for yelling at you guys every time you poked me. But can you please just let the nurses know, like, thank you for your service, and you guys did a great job. So she's like, oh my God.
Why am I imagining you standing in front of the like main area giving him a speech like you've written down on your phone?
This was in the room still yeah. when she was unhooking me.
Yeah.
So then she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, I could cry. She's like, you know, we honestly never hear thank yeah. yous. I'm like, Dad, that's crazy because like you're literally saving people's lives out here. Yeah. But like, thank you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I was like putting my jacket on, mm-hmm. she had already gone back to tell all the nurses.
Really?
So
they all like line up outside.
So when I was walking,
give you salute.
When I was walking out of the room, yeah. they're in unison. Bye, Sarah. Happy New Year. And then all the patients are looking at me like, who the F is this chick? Why does she get like 5 stars?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Oh,
and
God.
I just laughed and I walked out and I was just like, oh, what mm-hmm. the hell just happened? What was I doing? But yeah, that was my traumatic New Year's experience.
You could have gotten like a, was it Aaron Pierre moment walking down the hallway?
Oh. Aaron Pierre, that's Mufasa.
Sarah, Ali, that's Sarah.
You killed
I don't know. I killed it. Oh, yeah, my God.
It was just. That boosted my
That's
morale.
Our patient.
High key.
Oh, my God.
But okay. Yeah, I literally, my mom force fed me soup.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like an infant child, but she force fed me soup. And then I slept the entire day.
For the next day. Oh, no, this was New Year's Day.
Yeah, so like I don't know, like maybe this was around like 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. I went to bed at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And I think I woke up around like 10.
The next day?
No, 10 p.m.
I was about
that
to say,
night.
Yeah.
And then I think I like drank a lot of water because I was so thirsty,
mm-hmm.
popped some melatonin, and went right back to sleep.
They say sleep is the best medicine, so, you know.
No,
it's
I'm,
one of the best medicines.
Amir, yeah. I'm pretty sure I was sleeping like 12 to 14 hours each day.
Really?
Yeah, like that's how much
oh,
I was
like
sleeping.
You continued sleeping long hours every day.
Oh, yeah. Like I needed it. I actually needed it. And then I didn't go to work the rest of the mm-hmm. week. And yeah.
I wish I took that advice.
No, like... Truly, I think it was just a sign to like slow the F down. Mm-hmm. And I did finally. How was your New Year's? Because I'm sure it was better than mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, like.
Were you sick on New Year's?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't sick yet on New Year's. Mm-hmm. I was chilling then. Okay. So, yeah, I think we just chilled at the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple people who came over that were visiting from out of town. And then, one of them was, but like there were kind of a few people come over. We just chilled there. We watched like a comedy special, just random. You know, like sometimes you just put something on when people are eating,
mm-hmm.
and it's like really interesting. So you just continue watching it.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then we had a couple hours to play some games, and then we were like, we're not that far from the lakeshore. Like, you know, it was 20 minutes till midnight. Why don't we just go to the lakeshore and like watch the fireworks?
Yeah.
So yeah, we like all like quickly got on our stuff and literally got to the lakeshore area,
mm-hmm.
like. So there's multiple spots, I guess, along the lakeshore where you can kind of watch the main fireworks. We found a nice good spot,
mm-hmm.
and we just, the moment it hit, we were all there, and we saw the fireworks. And we were, like, stood there for, like, a good 20 minutes. Those fireworks were going for a long time.
Really? Was it cold?
It was chilly, but it wasn't, like, freezing. Like, the stuff we had on ourselves mm-hmm. was more than enough. Like, just a jacket,
yeah.
a hat. As long as you're prepared for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't really need gloves at that moment. It was pretty good. Especially for midnight.
Yeah.
We just got really lucky with the timing.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we had a pretty good New Year's, honestly. It was my first New Year's with my wife. So, you know, we got to chill and
do that.
Yeah, it's her first New Year's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So... Yeah, overall for us, alhamdulillah, you know, it wasn't as bad as what happened to you, right? But yeah. we were chilling.
It's funny though, because
oh
like,
my God, I might be coughing. I'm gonna try and cut it out of the episode, but I'm gonna be coughing and like clearing
though.
My throat throughout the episode. So you know, get ready for that.
I was just gonna say, that night Nabat messaged me,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "Please come," and yeah. I was like. I don't think you realize, like, I'm actually dying. Like, I'm going to go to the hospital tomorrow morning. She's like, no. She's like, listen, I'll pick you up. Because I was like, I don't think I'm in the right, like, condition to drive.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll pick you up. And you know where Nabat lives versus where I live.
Nah.
So I'm like, are you insane?
Nah, she was great. Nah, there's no way
like,
that's happening.
I promise you, I'm not going to add any value to tonight.
Yeah.
I'll probably make you guys all feel uncomfortable because I'm coughing and sneezing. And she's like, no, it's fine. Like, we don't care if you're sick. I'm like, you don't care if I'm sick.
And literally the next day they're saying, don't be around people.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, nah, honestly, just like FaceTime me. But I was fast asleep.
Yeah.
I didn't even see New Year's. I just woke up
in
the morning.
Inshallah, like, next year, Sarah, you know.
But then it made me sad.
Why?
Because, you know, they say like how you spend your New Year's Eve is like how the
how the year will
how the year the how will the year
turn
will
out
go.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
no,
and I
don't
just
go
like,
into that, man.
It's so
nah, it's not a Muslim New Year, okay? Wait till the Muslim New Year, okay?
Good point. Good
yeah.
point.
You know, this is their Gregorian New Year, whatever the Christian
That's
New Year, whatever. But
that's true.
Yeah, so don't look at it that way, okay, Sarah? We still
and
have
then,
hope.
And then we were talking with the girls and they're like, is everyone gonna have their grapes tonight? I'm like, get out of here. Just
grapes?
Yeah, you don't know the grapes theory?
No.
This started, like, I think during
oh,
COVID,
you mentioned this, I think, last year. I completely
where
forgot
you, like,
what it was.
Sit under a table and eat grapes, like 12 grapes or 10 grapes.
That
or
sounds some pagan stuff. Forget
but
that
yeah, they
stuff,
were like,
man.
Everyone should have grapes. I'm like,
nah.
Forget that.
Mm-hmm. Nah, we ain't about that stuff, man. New Year's is like somewhere like, oh, okay, you know, this is cool because we do live in the Western society. It's a cool thing to celebrate. But like, you're not going to take that seriously.
That's
okay.
What I said.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We'll but what we did have at the end of the year. Was the live show.
Yes. Good segment. Good segue.
And I think it was a good way to end off the year. We had a pretty big year this year.
We did.
In terms of like growth and like, you know, the amount of guests that we had or the guests that we did have and just overall, you know, becoming, you know, kind of finding direction for the podcast and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though I feel like I keep mentioning this, I feel like there's always new directions we can go in and like there's always new evolutions that we can have on this podcast. But overall it was just a good way to end the year. And like we mentioned, I think I from the live show that I posted, like I mentioned how the turnout was unexpected, at least for my part.
Me too.
It was super unexpected, like how fast it filled out. And alhamdulillah, the show, as you guys saw in the last post that we made for the podcast, it went well. The guests were amazing. We had, you know, Timaj. Sorry, we had Timaj. We had Adil. We had Hassan Fils and Najma. Oh wait, Najma and then Hassan Fils. Whatever, same order. Whatever. But yeah, we had them on the podcast, and they gave their insights. You know, Najma with the therapy advice on like what is
mental
it called
health.
Again?
Mental health.
Yeah, mental health. But what was that specific thing called? Winter.
Oh,
depression.
Seasonal
depression.
Don't hate us, Najma.
seasonal depression, basically. Yeah, she gave some good insight
on
that. She
called it something else, though, and it was like a really good name for it.
Seasonal affective disorder.
That's what it was.
See, I got this. Okay, well, yeah.
I'm surprised you just remembered that.
and then we had, of course, Adil, who ended off his time on stage. Was like an amazing
spoken word
performance or piece that he had. So you make sure and go check out the last episode for that. And of course, Timaj, who gave her insights on like the world of spoken word and just being an artist in general and evolving as an artist in this city. That was also she gave us some great insights there. And then of course, lastly, we had Hassan Fils, who is one of our earliest guests.
Yeah.
And he explained again for the newcomers, like what his come up was like on becoming a comedian. But we also covered like his growth in the last 2 years from the last time we had him on the podcast. Like he went from, you know, building his own shows or opening his own shows and making them for people like us who normally don't want to like pull up to a bar to see our favorite comedian, because that was typically the culture around comedy before he came into the scene. And now he's evolved into like opening for bigger comedians and touring the world and being on TV shows like The Office Movers, which got a second season. So, you know, we're just proud of the community that we've been able to surround ourselves with. And, you know, if we ever do have another live show, which, you know, a lot of people have asked us to do.
Yeah.
We'll, inshallah, let you guys know about that. And hopefully whoever wasn't able to make it, we'll be able to make it for that one. We'll have maybe a bigger venue for it or at least more seats available.
Yeah, like, you know, to kind of just dive into like the logistics of planning a live show.
Mm-hmm.
I think like I was so focused on the planning part that I didn't actually like check in with myself or Amir to be like, wait, are we like nervous? Like, how are we going to go about this? But I know Amir, and I know that even if Amir is nervous, you still like, once it's showtime, like you just like turn on and you're good.
Yeah.
Me, I was more nervous. Me, I'm more of the flight risk here. So, you know, leading up to like the day of the show, we were both like running around, just kind of doing final touches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the night before, I had gone to the venue.
Yeah.
And I saw like the setup starting, and I think that kind of helped me get rid of the nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
And just like reminding myself, like, wait, we do this every single week. Like, we know what we're doing. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We've interviewed how many people now, like countless number of guests. And so we're just doing what we love to do, but now we have an audience.
Exactly.
And so when it came time to like the actual show starting, I don't know what happened. The nerves just disappeared.
Yeah, because you just get back into show mode, basically.
I think so.
Show must go on, man. I'm telling
the
you.
The show must go on. But I think like in terms of planning an event, like if you guys ever want like a breakdown of like everything that we kind of went through to plan it, let us know and we'll actually like talk about it more.
Yeah.
But overall, like Amir said, like, you know, we didn't expect to sell out. I genuinely didn't even think we'd have more than 50 people, and we had over 100 people there. And so like it hit me when they turned the lights on. I was like, oh my god, yeah, there's a lot of people here. But you know, to everyone, if you're listening to this or watching this, if you guys ended up coming to the live show, thank you guys so much. It was so like such a cool feeling to like meet the people that watch us. And like there were a couple of people that were like, oh, you know, like we've had some DM conversations. And I'm like, oh, like what's your username? They'll tell me. I'm like, oh my God, I remember you. Like, that's crazy. I know you by your username. So, you know, it was nice to like put faces to names that we typically would just see online. I know a lot of you guys that listen to this aren't from Toronto. I wanted to give a special shout out to one of our listeners from Montreal. She
that was one thing I forgot to ask. I wanted to ask like who came here from the furthest.
To ask that, but like she actually one of our guests, I need to find her name on our DMs, but she bought a ticket and she was gonna take a train from Montreal just for her show, and she missed her train.
No.
And then she DM'd us and actually ended up donating her ticket to someone.
Really?
Yeah, which was really nice of her. What was her name? I want to give her a shout out. Oh, here it is. This is her. Hold on. Yeah. This is her. Haifa, user HW underscore Haifa.
Yeah. So shout out to Haifa. Sorry you couldn't make it.
I know.
You know, it's I know Montreal's probably dealing with some pretty bad weather out there. So I don't know if that had a factor into why you couldn't make it out or with the train situation. But
yeah,
you know, we'll definitely try. Like people have been asking for it. We don't have it in plans yet. Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If we ever have a live show again,
a live show.
Yeah, we'll make sure to let y'all know. Wait, a lot more ahead of time because I feel like we kind of announced it 2 or 3 weeks before we actually had the show. So maybe we'll like announce it a lot earlier so we can give you guys a little bit more time to prepare and like figure out your travel situations a little bit more.
Yeah, and like we got a couple of DMs and comments on the videos of people who are from like London, other parts of
Ontario?
Canada. No, London, England.
Oh.
And they were like, you guys should do a tour. And I was like, I couldn't even fathom. Like, imagine us going on a tour.
Yeah,
like, that's crazy.
I couldn't think, no.
Like, if that happens, inshallah, one day, like, that would be so crazy. Like, I can't picture it.
Yeah.
But if we ever get to that point, like, of course, we would love to go around and meet everyone that listens to us, you know. Of course we had some people from Australia, not ones that we know personally.
Oh really?
But there are people from Australia that were like, come to Australia again.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant there were people at the show from Australia.
Oh, not that I know of.
okay.
But but yeah, so I think it was a great way to like end off the year. We have so much to look forward to for 2025.
Yeah. Well, actually, one thing I wanted to, before we move on to the next topic, we should probably shout out the vendors, too, that came and like supported as well.
Yes.
So we had, like, Hannah Baisha, and we also had Voiserine Velvety Bakes with their amazing cookies. And we also had, big shout out to Fuego's Kitchen, who supported us and gave us, like, a bunch of food for the show. It was really good food. So like if you're in Toronto, they have like a ghost kitchen situation, or they have they don't have like a sit down shop, but you can order from them.
Fuego's Halal.
So yeah, make sure to check out Fuego's Halal Kitchen. And of course, lastly, Half Note, who also supported us greatly in this and like letting us use a venue basically. So
and Unparalleled Beauty.
Oh yes, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Another very big shout out to Unparalleled Beauty, who they couldn't actually make it to the show to be a vendor, but they still supported us and were able to sponsor the event as well.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to also check out Unparalleled Beauty, follow them on Instagram. Maybe I'll put up a little thing to show you what they offer, what they do, is like a makeup brand.
Yeah.
So you can check out their page.
They're like a Toronto based
list. It was like they're Toronto based, black owned,
woman owned, Somali owned.
Yeah, Somali owned.
Vegan, cruelty free makeup. And honestly, their stuff looks like pretty high quality. I actually want to get some because it looks really cool.
Yeah, see, so you may even see it on the show soon. I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure to mention that before we move on to the next topic.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone else we're forgetting, I'm sorry. We'll make sure to mention it in the future. But yeah, thank you again for coming.
Yeah.
For those who are listening to this, who were there, and inshallah, we'll have more in the future.
So, we kind of just talked about our live show and how we ended off 2024 with a bang, literally.
Mm-hmm.
but in terms of the new year, you know, we've talked about like New Year's goals in the past, and I guess the psychology of like, you know, the start of a new year instilling like this internal motivation in a lot of people. And so it's, I don't think it's like cliche to have New Year's goals.
Mm-hmm.
But did you actually think about like what some of your goals are for 2025?
I didn't mention this, but on the New Year's night, I think after we came back. What?
New Year's night?
What do they call it again?
New Year's Eve.
Oh, so New Year's Eve. I forgot the word. But on that night, on that eve, technically it was after the New Year's.
So after midnight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When we got back to the apartment after we went and saw the fireworks, whatever, like before everyone was leaving, we were asked like, what are your New Year's goals? And a lot of mine were like related mainly to like my marriage and be like, I want to travel more with my wife. Everything else was kind of related to a podcast and like getting more guests, evolving it more, hitting like certain numbers for subscribers. And yeah, it was very much like, I just want to grow this podcast overall.
Yeah.
And I said specific numbers. I probably won't say them here because I still, you know, I'm kind of working on that. But overall, it's just to grow this channel and also to grow my marriage. So both of them are just about growth.
Valid.
Yeah.
Pretty valid.
Yeah.
Okay. What about for yourself? Like, do you have any personal goals for yourself?
Those would be personal. Oh, well, like, other than... Oh, yeah. The other one was that, like, after I got injured, like, in June of this year, of 2024, I mean, I stopped heavy lifting altogether because I just couldn't. But now I've almost fully recovered from that.
Mm.
So my next goal was to get back to my original lifting numbers. Like, being able to deadlift as much as I used to deadlift before. Being able to squat. Like, I haven't squatted like with a weight on my back in like 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah. So like squatting, deadlifting, bench press, I've gotten back to that one a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't like where it was at. And yeah, I've definitely been growing in that sense. So like for personal growth, it's been mainly just trying to get my strength back.
I respect it. I kind of had a feeling you were going to say that though.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's your personal goal?
Mm-hmm.
Let me guess, lifting.
Yeah, basically. How for you?
Definitely traveling more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more intentional traveling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we could all use a break. I know people, like, for me personally in the past, I've always said, like, I like to travel because it's like a break from reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be more intentional with like where I'm going and why I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2025 travel plans are going to be very intentional. Okay.
Yeah.
Where I'm
going. We're not revealing those just yet.
Yeah. We're not going to say where yet, but you'll see.
You might find out sooner rather than later.
Another goal of mine was or is to do a 5K.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
The other day, I was like arguing with my wife. I was like, she's like, oh, you definitely couldn't do 5K right now. And I was like, I definitely could. I don't know what you're talking about. So I like, legit right now, I'm like, one day, I'm just going to randomly do a 5K.
They have some in the
just
spring.
To see if I can do it.
Let's do it. I was literally talking to Steve about it. I'm like,
really? Yeah. If you do it, I will do it. And like, I won't even train that much for it. I just know that I can do a 5K. No one can tell me I can't do a 5K.
You know
like,
what? Just, knowing you, just, I know you so well.
Yeah.
I feel like Hannah needs to realize this too.
Yeah.
If someone says, oh, Amir, you can't do this, you're going to do it just to spite them.
Yeah, I will. See? Yeah, I will do it to spite. Okay, you know what my logic was? My logic was this. Okay, when COVID started, I didn't know what to do, like, health-wise, because I didn't have any weights yet. This was before I could even source weights, because getting weights when everything was shut down was impossible. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Like, literally, if you would go to a place, normally you'd be able to get a pound for a dollar. I mean, yeah, pound per dollar. So, like, if you wanted a 45-pound weight, you'd pay $45. But the prices were crazy. It was, like, £3 per dollar. I mean, $3 per pound.
That's crazy.
So, if you want a 45-pound plate, you're paying $100-something dollars, which is crazy. Like, you should never... They were exploiting everybody. But I guess it's supply and demand, whatever. But, yeah, because of that, I had to figure out different ways to, like, at least get some activity in. And I was walking for a little bit. And that's actually when I started walking like regularly. And the next thing I was like, it's summer now. What should I do? I should start running. So the first day I started running, I hadn't run for years before this. The first day I ran, I think like 4 kilometers straight.
Without stopping? Yeah,
it just happened to be 4 kilometers because I did a big circle around like a block area. And when I looked on my phone, it said it was 4 kilometers. And I did that without stopping. And that's without any training. And that was at a time when I was lifting a lot too, lifting very heavy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I haven't lifted heavy. Well, my body is a little bit more loose now. So I feel like I'm even more primed to be able to run that much. And I walk every single day. Why can't I do 5K is so little. That's like 25 minutes of running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roughly. I used to be able to do 25 to 30 minutes, 5 minutes per kilometer.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little less than that if I was trying to like actually
beat time. If you're trying to like sprint,
yeah,
then it's different, but yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Let's sign up for a 5K.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll sign up for 5K, I guess.
Okay. So yeah, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, well, I said this last year, but it didn't happen.
What?
That I was going to get married. But I think this is the year.
You know, yeah, you have to be very intentional about it, though. Like, you have to be aggressive about it.
I'm not an aggressive person, though.
I know. You gotta change that.
Passive.
Yeah, change that.
Actually,
man.
I'm not even passive. I'm just not aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're gonna start hitting up some DMs.
Absolutely not. Me?
Yeah.
Living in the DMs? Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'm not gonna do.
Let's just say it's gonna be related to a lot of the traveling.
But aside from that, I think like personal goals, I mean, these are all personal goals, really. Mm-hmm. The other goals was more so in terms of like the podcast too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hitting certain numbers, but also expanding our like the direction that we're going in.
Yeah.
And we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't want to reveal every single thing. Like sometimes when you're working on something, it's better to just like do it and then say, this is what I did. And it's not because we're trying to hide anything from you guys, but it's more so like sometimes when you say, oh, I want to do X, Y, Z, and you say it out loud to like a bunch of people, you don't end up, it's like a weird, I don't know why that happens. It just doesn't end up happening.
Yeah. You know, it's why.
I ain't. But you know, like, I think we'll see how this year plays out. I think like, overall, the biggest goal is just being very intentional about everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that will open doors for you, inshallah, and just making more dua for the things that you want. Like, I know people talk about, like, manifesting this and that. Listen, we're Muslim. We just make dua.
Yeah.
We rely on Allah, who make dua. And, you know, doors open for us that you never thought that you never thought would open. Sometimes it's such an interesting experience to sit there and reflect on the things that you are have been blessed with that you were once asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, like I could be like, oh, last year I was making dua for this and I have it right now. Like that's so, it makes you so grateful to Allah and like motivates you to want to be a better Muslim and continue to make dua. Obviously, like, you know, you also, it's like a balance. Like you don't want to just make dua when you're asking for something. Like also be thankful for what you already have, you know? Like, of course, we're always looking to get more and do more, but be thankful for where you're at right now and, you know, express that gratitude in the ways that you know how as a Muslim. So like, we've talked about this before and, you know, Ramadan is coming up and so it's a good time to like...
Sooner rather than later, man.
Yeah, I still gotta make up my day.
Yeah. Literally, we were talking about that today. With
my wife. She has to make her days up too? Damn. Yeah, listen. The new year just crept up on all of us, okay? I was like, crap. 2025.
Remember that? Say like, if you did 3 weeks ago, we'd have been the shortest days.
I know, but I got sick.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Still.
So.
But then again, when you're sick, actually, yeah, you are kind of eating throughout the day, taking medicine.
I contemplated fasting.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I'm gonna need to take medicine and be more hydrated. Yeah. So that's all I'm trying to do. But yeah, for all of you guys that have New Year's resolutions, work hard at it. I hate when people say like, just move in silence, make moves in silence. I'm not gonna say that, but like, do it.
Just do it. Just turn do to it. A Nike ad.
Exactly.
A Nike line comes up.
But yeah, inshallah, 2025 is everyone's year, okay?
I know this has been a long episode already.
That's okay. This is a long one. So yeah, this is your intermission point. Yeah. Go pause the video or pause the recording. Grab a snack, grab a tea. We have our tea here. And get comfortable.
And we'll just talk about all the stuff that's already been happening in 2025.
Exactly.
Starting with literally on New Year's Day. We had two attacks. One of them was the attack in New Orleans with the car that unalived 14 people. And then we had this attack in Las Vegas. Well, not attack, but more like explosion of a Cybertruck in front of Trump Tower in Las Vegas. So starting with the first one connects us in a way that like it kind of goes back to that those original fears. It's almost like they're trying to bring back the fear of Muslims again.
Islamophobia.
Yeah, because essentially what happened was there was a guy who drove a truck down Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which is like a very popular street in New Orleans where there's a lot of like history there. There's a lot of shops and bars and just places. People are always walking on the streets there. Like they're actually on the streets as well. So this guy just took a car or a truck and drove right through it. And it turned out that when they found out who it was this guy named Shamsuddin. Yeah, sorry. Shamsuddin Jabbar. And of course, the moment you hear that name, you're like, damn.
I know, we
already know like what the storyline is going to be here, what they're going to start saying, you know, Muslims, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And when they started like revealing more, you see that he had like an ISIS flag in the back of his truck. Crap. Right? Yeah. And then I think like, it was literally like 1 or 2 days after the attack. They allowed New York Post for some reason.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was, you could just, okay. So basically it's set up is that this like white journalist walks into the house, into his rented Airbnb or his actual house. I can't remember. And she's like walking. She says she sees his desk. She's like, yeah, you can see his like bomb making materials here on his desk. And it just looks like a regular house, whatever. And then they turn the camera around and you see like a wall full of like, Islamic books and Islamic materials, and at the top of it you see a shelf with a giant Quran book that's just open, which a lot of people and Muslims are pointing out, like, we usually don't keep leave a Quran open like that in the middle of the living room unless you're intending to read from it.
Yeah.
And like she's like pointing out how his like prayer mat is like rolled up on the side, and then everyone knows that Muslims we almost never roll up our prayer mats.
It's
like
folded,
that. Yeah,
usually.
It's you fold it. You could clearly tell that like the FBI or whatever government organization first came in here and kind of set up the whole place to make it look
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly set up this whole spot to make it look as incriminating as possible and to definitely make it look like this was like a Muslim terrorist attack, right? To kind of change the narrative on Muslims, or at least bring it back to how it used to be, how everybody should be scared of Muslims, right? Because you've seen, like, even after over the past 2 years with what was happening in Palestine and how that revealed, like, the true nature of Muslims or, like, the true
I think people were taken aback by the Muslims' patience and submission to God.
Yes, exactly, right? And like whatever propaganda they were fed before was clearly being washed away by how they're reacting to it and how we were kind of reacting to the situation.
Right.
And it was exposing all of that, right? So I feel like this is their kind of way of bringing back, no, remember guys, you're supposed to be scared of the Muslims, okay? See what they can do, okay? but I feel like it didn't really work this time. Even a lot of people who you wouldn't expect to be on your side, like I was seeing, at least on TikTok specifically, I was seeing a lot of people being like, yeah, we could clearly see this was staged. Like they're trying to make Muslims look like the bad guys here, and we can see that that's what they're going for.
Doesn't it make you happy that people are finally starting to use their critical thinking skills?
Yeah. But amazing. I feel like it's just because of how poorly they kind of set this whole thing up. Right. It's and also like when the family was coming out and saying, yeah, we're like, his name sounds like a Muslim name, but we all grew up non-Muslim. Like he was born in Texas. He I think his like stepdad was Muslim, which is why they all had Muslim names.
Oh.
But the kids themselves or his brother and stuff, none of them actually grew up learning about Islam or knew anything about Islam to begin with. Right. So, and I think someone had an interview with like his niece, and she's like, yeah, we up until 2 or 3 years ago, like Islam was like nothing, not really mentioned in our whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that like he went missing, went missing, but he kind of like went quiet 2 or 3 years ago. And I think that's when he kind of got radicalized a little bit.
Mm.
But then it started coming out that he used to be in the U.S. Army, or he was in the U.S. Army for a long period of time, like 10 plus years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had done tours in Afghanistan, right? So I feel like his radicalization might have come from like the things that he might have seen or done in those countries, mm-hmm. where they were essentially being terrorists themselves from the stuff that later came out that they were doing out in Afghanistan.
You're referring to the U.S. Army, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like the situation is a lot more complicated than bad Muslim.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
it was a breath of fresh air to see how people were reacting to that in a way when like not falling for the propaganda. And there's actually another story that I mentioned that's kind of connected to this was a Cybertruck situation where there was a Cybertruck that exploded in front of the Trump Tower in Las Vegas. And that one was the one connection, that weird connection there is that the guy, his name was like Matthew Livelsberger.
I know. I was trying to read that.
Yeah. But him, he actually was also in the Army. He was part of the Special Forces. And at one point, actually, he was stationed in the same camp or base as Shamsuddin. But they said that I believe they never actually ended up crossing paths. And there were people saying, like, this is a pretty big base. It's used by it's used by the Army to kind of house a lot of Army men. What do they call them?
Soldiers,
sorry. Before they, like, send them out to other bases. I don't know, I'm forgetting words. It's a sickness, okay? But, yeah, so... outside of that, his motivations were kind of weird because they said that like he wasn't exactly like, it wasn't like a terrorist, they didn't call it a terrorist attack, even though technically it's still a terrorist attack, right? Because he was
like, yes, no one was harmed except for him.
Yeah.
But still.
But he said that it was a wake up call, or at least they found out that he was doing this as a wake up call for the country, for like all the stuff that's currently going on and to expose like the deep state and all that. So he just was like, all the rhetoric out there. What?
Wasn't he the one that had a manifesto?
I think so. I didn't hear too much about this one. That's why. I don't have too much info on it.
The one detail that I thought was kind of not funny, but he used ChatGPT to help him create the equipment to help cause the explosion.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch them try to ban ChatGPT next.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, mm-hmm. but it's just interesting because just based on his like, the reason behind why he did what he did,
mm-hmm.
he sounds like a really extreme conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And usually conspiracy theorists are against things like AI, mm-hmm. or in this case, like, I know ChatGPT.
So maybe that's what AI. Maybe that's what his motivation was for the wake call. It's ironic that he used AI.
Right, that's what I was trying to get at.
For that.
The irony.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But essentially what I was trying to get at is that, like, you know, whether it be conspiracy theories or religion, whatever is used, like radicalization is just... it's not accepted by anyone. It's not accepted by us.
Yeah, essentially it's like an extremist.
And yeah, but it should not be used to
get your point across.
It should not be used to paint a whole brush on that whole community that's connected to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's also just, it's crazy how they both happened in New Year, how they were sort of connected, and they're both radicalized, but in different sense.
Well,
what?
In that topic, actually, I'm sure you guys have heard about the forest fires in LA, or the the fires that are happening. Mm-hmm. But did you hear some people are saying it, like the conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, I kept seeing some comments about it, but I didn't look into it too much.
They were saying like, they're like, these are like, someone's starting the fires, mm-hmm. and they're using it to like burn like evidence
of it. I heard some tunnels, there were like some tunnels under LA tunnels or something like that. But that's just like, I don't know, the internet has gotten, there's so many conspiracies on the internet now, and there's so many people who are falling for them, that someone will have an explanation for anything that happens.
Like, people really just,
any natural disaster that happens, they're saying weather balloons are creating it, right? Or the government is creating the weather, these weather machines that are creating these hurricanes, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just the easy answer of global warming.
Yeah.
Right? Similar to these fires, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just blaming it on the fact that because of global warming, there are higher winds and there are drier seasons.
Yeah.
So which is both a recipe for forest fires to spread faster, right?
Right, right, right.
But they're saying, no, it's a conspiracy. So people are starting these fires to hide certain evidence. The answer is always, not always, the answer a lot of times is a lot simpler than it really seems.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like, maybe we're just not conspiracy theorists, so we kind of see right through it, but who knows? Maybe there's some truth to some of it.
But that's the thing. It's like, there are people, the people who, they'll have a conspiracy theory and they find out later that they're right. It's like, but you, at that point when you were saying those conspiracies, you had no evidence for it. You just happened to be right because, you know, the clock is, what do they say? The clock is right 2 times a day.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of situation where when you're using it like a shotgun approach in your conspiracy theories, where you're saying like 1,000 different things. If one or two of those things tend to be right, doesn't mean that the rest of your conspiracies are right. Or you have any basis for any of the other conspiracies. It's how you reach those conclusions that really matter.
That's a valid point.
Mm-hmm. So, those are two. That's another thing I forgot to even write down on the post today. Or the
fires?
About the fires.
Honestly,
I feel bad for all the people. Like, there are people who are watching, I watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Who had lost their homes due to these fires, right? Like, there's, you know Colin Samir? I watch them sometimes. They have like a podcast together. They interview like really influential people in the YouTube community and online community. Like,
maybe I know them.
Well, they lost, both of them lost their homes.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a tech YouTuber I follow called Bitwit. He lost his home as well. There's a lot of people. I think, didn't Jackie Aina lose her home?
No.
No? Okay, I heard something about Jackie Aina or something like that.
Maybe, I'm not sure. But you know, like, I feel like the sentiment online is so interesting because like, when celebrities are posting about losing their home, non-celebrities, so like the average person, some of them are getting so triggered. Like, just because someone's a celebrity doesn't mean that they don't value their home.
Yeah.
Like, they still worked hard to get that home. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have things that have a lot of sentimental value. Like, it's irreplaceable. And so, like,
there's still people at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's still people. Like, I get it. Like, maybe you feel like, oh, well, what about the other people that don't, that are as rich as you?
Yeah, because sure, there are celebrities who were affected by this, but there are a lot more people who are just regular everyday people who worked hard, and you see a bunch of videos about this as well, worked hard their whole life to get a nice place in this area, and like 40 years of buildup, and it's all gone, and then now they're scared that the insurance companies they've been paying for all these years might just cancel their insurance because they're like, oh, we can't afford this.
Well, they're trying to like argue that that one clause that they're trying to argue. I can't remember.
I haven't heard about that, but I just know that I think the government, the LA government, like imposed a moratorium where they're like, the insurance companies can't cancel these people's insurance for a year, just so like they don't like randomly start canceling people because of this.
Right.
And it's weird because you're in a rock and a hard place because like these insurance companies, I think the last time something happened like this, a lot of these insurance companies went bankrupt. So, and at that point, the people who are paying into those companies aren't going to get anything back. And that might happen. People are scared that that might happen again because there's so many people who lost their homes. Like, literally, a whole city is, like, flattened, right?
Yeah.
And if maybe there's only two or three insurance companies covering all those people, there's only so much more money that can go around. And if they file bankruptcy, like, at that point, they don't have to, they're not obligated to pay back anyone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I just pray that all these donations that are going around are enough to cover at least some of what those people have lost.
Hopefully. I don't know. But that's really tough.
Yeah. And it's crazy to think that this is not going to be something special. I feel like this is something that's going to be more often. It's going to happen more often throughout the years because it can only get worse from here, I feel like. Because it's not like they're doing any more to support the environment or to reverse what we've already done to the environment.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's too late to reverse it, but, you know.
Remember like 15 years ago when they were like, yeah, we have like 5 years before, you know, the water levels start getting too high where places on the side of the ocean are gonna, people are going to lose their homes. Miami will be gone, that kind of thing. Sure, it didn't happen in the timeline that they're mentioning, but we are seeing it happen.
No, you're not wrong, but I don't know. I honestly don't even know. Like, maybe this will... I feel like LA is kind of... they're kind of like moving towards being a little bit more greener, no? With their practices. Like, yeah, they have a lot of cars with green.
I feel like a lot of the stuff is more like, it's like surface level. The stuff that they implement, it'll be like, let's change out. It's like what we do here in Canada. Like, let's change out
the
plastic straws for paper ones.
Or the utensils.
Yeah. And sure, that might have like a small effect on like a consumer level. But on a global level, I don't know how much of an effect that really has.
Fair.
So, yeah, that was a little catch up on the past few days. But one more thing or a couple more things that happened.
Yeah.
First off.
What's the big thing that happened?
The big thing that happened in Canada.
Yeah.
Is that we no longer have a prime minister. Okay.
We
technically we still have a prime minister until March.
Yeah.
Okay. But Trudeau ended up stepping down. And honestly, this is like the least surprising news to me.
I respect his self-awareness. To know that your country hates you, it's a tough pill to swallow. But he's like, you know what? I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
It's time for me to go.
Yeah. And I just know that we're going to, first off, so how it works in Canada is that we have like four or five parties in the House of Commons. There's like three or how many hundred seats? There's like four, let's say there's like 400 seats in the parliament, and it's broken up, like the seats are taken up by each party, right? And you can have a minority government or you can have a majority government. Right now we have minority government with the Liberals, where basically Liberals, they don't have the majority of the seats in the House. So out of that 400, let's say they have 100, right?
Yeah.
The rest of the seats are split up with the rest of the parties. So they don't have a majority in that. They don't have more than 200, but they have enough to that technically they have more than the rest of the parties, not put together, but each individual.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that means that in order for them to get stuff passed, they have to like work with other parties. Yep. And also to stay in power, they have to work with other parties. Because let's say, because they have 100 seats, if two parties who have like, let's say 90 seats and... let's say three parties. They said like they have 80, 80, 80.
Mm-hmm.
So technically they have more than
100.
The liberals. They can call for like a new vote and like dissolve government basically and say, okay, we're going to get a new vote again.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to work with another party. In this case, they've been working with like the NDP party to get that majority so they can continue to hold on to government. And they've been doing that for like past 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
But then recently the NDP was like, yeah, we're going to stop supporting the Liberals. So basically at any point, the Conservative Party, who's like their biggest opposition, could put in like an application for like a new vote. I forget what the actual terms are.
Right.
But essentially they can call for a new vote. And because the NDP is not supporting liberals, when it comes up to a new vote, mm-hmm. the liberals would lose that majority and then a new vote would happen.
Right.
And I think because of that, and also because Chrystia Freeland, who was a finance minister.
That's what it is.
Of Canada for the Liberal Party. Well, for Canada, but appointed by the Liberal Party. She stepped down. Mm. She's like, yeah, I can't work with this guy anymore. Like, I don't trust him anymore. I'm done. And that was like a big hit. And at that point, people were like, yeah, you got to go, buddy.
Yeah.
So then he was kind of holding on for a bit. He's like, I think he reconfigured his cabinet. I don't know exactly what that means. Okay. And I just saw a video of him appointing a new cabinet or whatever. But that made people think that he was going to stick in there. And then, like, I think 2 weeks later, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this. So he stepped down. Mm. So now they're off for like 2 months. I think the government in Parliament in Ottawa is basically shut down for until March. And that basically gives the Liberal Party enough time to like have their own...
Like appoint a new person.
Yeah, appoint a new leader, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was something that happened. It didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, same.
And because I think he had like a 16% approval rate. And there's no way you can run a country with that. And like a lot of it was warranted. A lot of it, a lot of it was unwarranted as well. I feel like just people, a lot of what's happening in America is kind of happening here. Where people are kind of appointing blame to people that it's not connected to or it's not related to. And some of the blame was warranted, but like the people that they think are offering the solutions, like in this case, Conservative Party, don't really have their best interests at heart. So yeah, it's very uneasy in Canada because when this vote comes and like the results, what everybody thinks is going to happen actually happens. I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, oh shoot, like it's very similar to what's happening now in America.
Yeah,
where they're kind of, the MAGA is kind of turning on each other. I feel like it's going to happen when that party gets into place.
And also doesn't help that Trump really was pushing for Canada to be the 51st state.
Yeah.
But Trudeau, before he stepped down, was like, there is no chance.
Mm-hmm.
What did he, I can't remember.
All of them are like that. And that's one thing you can say for every party, like including the Conservative Party. Like everyone was saying, yeah, this is no way. And that makes sense. Like no country is going to be like, oh yeah, sure, take over our country, right?
Yeah, that's
so insane. All the politicians was like, you know, this guy's talking trash. There's no way. Like you're your biggest ally, right?
Right.
And I think that Trump, what we're talking about is like a little, Trump had like a little press conference at his Mar-a-Lago about what he's planning on doing. And he was talking about like taking over Greenland and maybe using even like actual like his army to take it over. And he said he might take over Canada through like economic pressure.
Yeah.
So he was talking a lot of like very fascistic stuff in my eyes. And the things that people were warning us about or warning everybody about to begin with. And now like even the people who are closest to him are starting to realize like the party that they aligned with, which is Trump's side or whatever,
mm-hmm.
was only kind of using them to get into power. And now that they know that they don't need them, they're realizing that their true colors are and that how this is really just like comes down to when they say like make America great again, what they really mean and like make America well again. So it's interesting seeing how that's kind of like turning on a lot of people. And people are kind of, what is it called? FOMO? No, F around and find out.
FAFO.
Yeah. Yeah. FAFO. So that's also interesting seeing online as well.
Do you feel like that's going to happen here where people are just like out of spite of Trudeau, they're just going to start voting for the Conservatives?
Yeah. And I feel like because like, look at us, even me, like I just explained this, my amount of knowledge on this is very limited,
that's true,
but even my amount of knowledge on like what's going on and what the policies are and what these people actually are planning on implementing
mm-hmm.
is like, I'm like, I feel okay. I don't know if I'm like bigging up myself too much. I'm not trying to big up myself, whatever. I'm not trying to say I know so much, whatever.
I know.
I just, for the people listening, okay? I'm just saying. I feel like I'm in like the smallest percent. I'm like in the 10th percentile of people.
Yeah.
Who know, like 90% of the people in this country do not know what else is going on. And typically in politics, people just go off of vibes. They don't actually go off of policies or whatever's going on. So I feel like a lot of what might happen in the future with the voting is purely based off of vibes and feelings. Instead
maybe
of facts.
If the government realized that everyone lives on the internet and on social media, just let us see our news resources.
Oh, yeah. That's also a big part of it. Yeah. The fact that we can't even... In Canada, they literally banned from C, I think it's Bill C-11, they like banned all like news agencies from posting in Canada unless they pay Canada like a fee or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, or maybe it's the social media site that has to pay the fee.
Or at least, no, I think they have to allow them to like control what they can and can't post or something like that. Oh. It's very authoritarian. So that one is very bad, and I don't know why they let that go through.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And I feel like that's a big reason why Trudeau lost a lot of support as well.
Yeah.
From both sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah. So that was another big thing that happened in our country, and we'll see what the results are in a couple months of what happens, mm-hmm. and who we have as new leader, who our new prime minister is, and we'll probably be voting within next month after that.
Yeah, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last thing we wanted to mention was going back to America,
mm-hmm.
which is something that will affect all of us in a way, kind of. The TikTok ban, mm-hmm. which looks like it's actually going through.
Yeah.
And right now they're kind of fighting in the Supreme Court in America to be able to at least like fight, they say, like this law that they put in, or this, essentially this thing that they're forcing them to do is unconstitutional, mm-hmm. by selling their company to American, they're forcing them to sell their company to an American based company, or basically shut down your offices in America.
Right.
And it's not looking good. Like, people are listening to the audio that's coming out in the Supreme Court. And you can clearly tell, like, the people in the Supreme Court, like, these judges have no idea how technology works. Like, they don't know how social media works. And, like, the study that they're basing this all off of is super biased, clearly. Like, and when you go back, like, someone was going back into, like, where is this coming from? Who is the study funded by? Where are they getting their information from? Of course, it all goes back to AIPAC. AIPAC has their fingers in everything.
Yeah.
And I think we all knew why they were gunning for TikTok so much.
Yeah.
Because essentially all these companies do the same thing with the algorithm and how it works and, like, you know, how it forced certain, like, ideas and perspectives or whatever.
Right.
But they specifically went after TikTok because of how it helped spread the message of what's going on in Palestine.
Yeah.
And once they saw that happening, they're like, yo, get this thing out of here quick, ASAP.
It's crazy that they're actually going through with it, but there might be, I think it's until the end of January. That's when the ban is going to take in.
It's like June 19, I think, no?
No, I thought it was Jan.
I'm sorry, January 19, my bad.
Unless the Supreme Court allows, like, what is it called, an extension or a delay?
Yeah, a delay.
Yeah.
So right now they're fighting for that delay. But the thing is that, like, I don't even know if they'll get it because of what's happening in Supreme Court. Like, like I was mentioning, this study that they're basing this off of. So essentially their whole claim is that, like, it's skewing people's perception on China, and, like, there's a lot of Chinese propaganda. And this study, like, went on there and said, yeah, look at, like, all this propaganda's on there and, like, how they're feeding this to the viewers in America. And the way that they, like, the person looked into it, they're like, the way they did their research is that instead of going to the For You page, like everybody else uses TikTok, right? They didn't do that. They went to the search bar and search Chinese content, whatever, or pro-China content, and then like anti-China content.
Yeah.
And they didn't look at the views at all. They didn't look at the views. They just looked at purely the search and how many videos were made pro-China and how many were not pro-China.
Have you
But they didn't look at the views either. So some of those all those pro ones could have had like 2 views, 3 views.
But like, Amir, on your For You page, have you seen any pro-China videos?
That's the thing. Yeah. They're basing this all on a study that doesn't even take into account how people actually use the app.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like basing a study saying like YouTube has pro-China content, but all they did was go to the search bar on YouTube and search up videos on pro-China content.
That's crazy.
So it's already biased in that sense.
Mm.
But because a lot of these Supreme Court judges are so like technologically literate,
mm-hmm.
they don't understand how that works. They don't understand how people are using this app.
Right.
So they're just going to assume that whoever this trusted source, this trusted news source, or whoever came up with the study did their due diligence in that sense, and we'll just go off based on that. And it's up to TikTok to kind of defend themselves and try and point out all these mistakes. But they don't understand how, like, what they're saying to begin with.
Right.
Because, you know, it's unfortunately, this country, America, is being run by, like, geriatric people, man. These people should be in homes. Yeah, they're running the country. I don't know. It's an interesting situation. In Canada, they haven't banned it, but the funny thing is that Canada already technically banned TikTok's operations in Canada. At least they banned the offices in Canada, right? Mm. But they already had the offices in America,
right?
So they weren't really too concerned about that.
Yeah.
But now that they're banned in America, it's like, you know, what are they going to do? But then Americans can't even use the app anymore. So it's different in that sense for us versus America, where we can still use the app. We still get updates, but they can't do that in America anymore. So we're going to lose all those American content, all that American content.
Content viewers, like the consumers, like those that are.
Exactly. But maybe they'll do what like a lot of other people are doing, and just like getting a VPN or making the account in Canada, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will find a different way, but.
Or just create a new app.
Yeah. There's a lot of people already pointing out to different apps. Like I think it's one called like Lemon 8 or something like that.
Oh.
But there are people already pointing to other apps to kind of go to that probably don't have the algorithm that TikTok had, because the main thing about TikTok, like the most valuable thing about TikTok, was its algorithm.
Right.
Everybody wants that algorithm.
Right.
They'll pay billions of dollars just for the algorithm. They don't care about the app. They want that algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so those apps, if they don't have that algorithm, it's going to be tricky. They have to figure it out themselves. They have to build it from the ground up, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works. It's going to be interesting. See what happens in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Until we see what happens, you can still follow us on TikTok at Kunza Connection Pod. Anyone outside of Canada, and I mean outside of America, you know, you can still follow us on there.
We'll still continue to post.
Yeah, we'll continue
while
to post
can.
There if we can, until we can.
Exactly.
But other than that, in case it does get banned, you can also follow us on Instagram, Kunza Connection Pod.
Exactly.
And you can also subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. You know, we'll be posting YouTube shorts. Can YouTube post longer shorts now?
No, it's still like
it's
that's
still
why
60
I can't
seconds.
Post half of them. Yeah,
that's so dumb. They need
I
to
know.
Fix that ASAP.
I know.
But yeah, you can still follow us on subscribe to us on YouTube, and yeah, make in the comments. You know, you can leave what you're planning to do for the New Year's.
Yeah, or let us know. Maybe we'll be inspired and like you know, be inspired by some of your goals, but let us know. Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, we'll feel a lot better next week too.
Okay, thank you guys so much for watching. We love you guys. We'll see you guys
next week.
Bye.